Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today I want to talk about our life, right? The pattern of life, and maybe a little bit about what that means. And so, I kind of want to start with an analogy, and what I want you to kind of picture and think about is when you plan a vacation, and when you plan that vacation, like you take time to carefully think about it. Right, like we're getting ready to plan a vacation to, well, we've already been planning it, but we're getting ready to go like this family vacation to Disney World. And I've spent time, like I know, you know what, we're going to Disney World, so we know where we're going to go. We know how we want to travel there. We know the route that we're going to take. Like we've planned it out. We know exactly what we want to do. And so I think it's important that we do that when we're going on vacation, right? But if you look at vacation as kind of like your life, I think unfortunately too many people don't consider life as an adventure. We don't consider it as that adventure that we need to map out, that we need to plan prior to when we start that adventure, right? Prior to takeoff. And I think we probably should do that more. And as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, what we expect to receive from life, and maybe more important, what we expect to give to life, you know, especially if we don't spend, you know, if we don't spend any amount of time planning it, how do we know what we're going to give to life? How do we know what we expect to get out of life, right? What do we expect to receive? You know, and I guess it's one thing just to think everything's going to be okay, but because it will with Christ, like let's be honest, but I think we need to do some planning, you know, and at the bottom of the end of the day, right at the bottom of this, no two people will look at life in the exact same way, right? We're always going to look at it differently. And that's why I think it's important for us to think about like what everybody else says, you know, but Paul in Galatians, he told us, or he tells us what life is supposed to be all about, right? If we are a believer in Christ, Paul's going to tell us, just like he told the church in Galatians, what life is about, right? And in chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I was thinking about this because, you know, Linda and I have had a lot of things change in our life recently. And, you know, it's funny because we've had a couple people say to us that this is like life two, like we're starting over and we're beginning this new chapter in our lives. And so as we begin this new chapter, we need to be more aware what's ahead of us, right? That there's this journey that we're going to go down, this pathway of that's going to be kind of woven into a pattern of endless opportunities and potential tragedies and some victories, right? You know, there's a book, and there was actually a movie called The Pilgrim's Progress, and it's really about his journey and the stuff that occurs on this journey of life. If you haven't seen it, you should go get it, or I think you can get it on Amazon. But it's an amazing, you know, story to even read. But it's a journey really to the end of ourselves. And what it means is that we need to give up everything we know. We need to give up everything we believe in this world. And we need to trust completely in Christ. We need to trust that Jesus will change the pattern of our life forever. That it will be a new life. It will be life number two. And among the joys of facing this new life is the joy of knowing that there are these opportunities for growth and these opportunities for service that are ahead of us, right? I mean, there are countless opportunities for growth. And as we climb out of the ashes of the world, right, climb out of the ashes of our own lives before we gave it all up, when we stop growing in some fashion, right, we begin to kind of wither away and decay. You know, during this new life, we need to seize the opportunity for growth at every intersection that we come to. And there's a lot of them, right? And we're seeing that in our own lives right now. We're seeing these opportunities and everything that's coming into play. And we have to be careful because if you're there, right? I mean, it's easy to fall back into that old worldly way of things. But we can't do it. We have to be open and we have to seize that opportunity. And another, you know, on top of opportunity is another important thing that we need to ask for in this new life. It's a hard one, but we need to ask for mental stability. We need to ask God and we need to pray to Jesus for a mental stability in our lives. Because as Christians, the only way we're going to get that mental stability is to spend time in the Word, to spend time studying and learning and you know, just interacting with God. Because when we stop doing that, when we stop studying, we are going to stop cultivating, I guess is the best word, our mental capabilities or the capacity of our mental strength. We're going to begin to kind of shrink or deteriorate. Our God-given mental abilities will dry up if we don't spend time with Christ. If the pattern of our life doesn't dictate that we are spending time with God, our abilities are going to dry up. You know, we have to be good stewards of our intellect. You know, I think it was like one of my first podcasts and I talked about time. I said, we have to be good stewards of time. We have to be good stewards of the time that God has given us. This isn't any different, right? We have to be good stewards of our intellect. God gave us that intellect. So we have to protect it. And the way we protect that is to continue to learn. We are responsible for God. We are responsible to God to increase that capacity, to cultivate our mental abilities. And I think you may not like this, but I think far too many people today are satisfied with mental mediocrity. I'm okay where I'm at. I don't need to read. I don't need to learn that. I don't need to listen to that podcast. Whatever it might be, way too many people are okay with it. And so as we think about those things, right, there's these opportunities for growth and there's this mental stability we need. There's also countless opportunities for service, you know. And I say that because we need to remind ourselves continually that we have been saved to serve, not just sit in the kingdom of Christ. You know, I sit here and I praise God. Pre-COVID, you know, before COVID, we used to go to the Nashville Rescue Mission at least once a month, right? And somebody from Bikers for Christ would preach to the men, and then we would bring them down and we would pray for them and we would talk to them, and numerous people were saved from that. But when COVID happened, that all went away. And that was hard for us. It was hard for me because these men needed it. They needed it then more than ever. You know, they're going through a lot. And that service blessed me way more than it blessed them. But now, as of the date of recording this, we're getting ready to go back. Easter Sunday is going to be our first day. So you'll probably hear this after Easter. And, you know, I'll be praising God all the way up until that point that we get to go back and spend time with the rescue mission and just love people. Right? Meaningful Christian service. That's what Jesus taught us, right? Jesus taught simply one of our greatest principles is service to him, right? In Matthew 25:40, he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for one of the least Right? He said that not because, you know, not the Pharisees are who are sitting up in the temple. What have you done for the least? And I see a lot of Christians today walk away from the less than. Walk away from the forgotten. And we just can't do it anymore. You know, during this walk with Christ, during our life, during this walk towards sanctification, we need to come out of our cocoon of self-centeredness, and we need to allow ourselves the opportunities of ministering to the sick, to the shut-in, to the needy, to the imprisoned, to anybody who's troubled, and we need to do it in the name of Jesus. We need to witness for him as we serve. That's what we got to do. That has to be a pattern. We need to be winning souls. That one thing is the greatest of all life's opportunities, is the opportunity to be person to person witnessing with the intent of winning souls, the intent of winning the souls of somebody who's lost. That's what we got to be doing. That's one of our greatest opportunities. This joy of winning somebody's soul for, you know, for the kingdom, man, that cannot be overestimated. You know, and I think, you know, the reason I'm talking about this ability to just be person to person with somebody is it's hard for me when I do this podcast, because I've said this before. This isn't, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a public speaker. You know, I didn't go to seminary. I don't even know what I'm doing a podcast, but I'm just saying, yes, Lord, right? But I've recently talked to several people who have been listening to the podcast who weren't close. They were kind of far away, and they really didn't know what's going on, or they had questions. And I got to talk with them, and I got to explain, like, this is where we're going. You know, these are things that I thought I would never get to see because I don't know everyone listening. I mean, I hear people say, oh, great podcast, Rick, you know, keep doing it. But to hear somebody who was not close to Christ to start asking questions, that's soul winning. I have continued to say in this podcast, if one person comes to Christ, that everything I've done is worth it. You know, it's a blessing. It really is. And we have to recognize that we have to recognize and accept life's pattern. We have to accept that there are going to be tragedies. You know, I used to hear people say when I came to Christ that, you know, now the struggle begins. And I always thought, like, well, that's when, like, the struggle's over, right? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've won. I've won the battle, right? I'm cruise control now. But that's not true. Tragedy's going to happen because when you're away from God, when you're not walking with Christ, the devil's already won. He doesn't have to fight for you anymore. But when you accept Christ into your life, into your heart, and you walk with him every day, that's when it gets hard. That's when tragedy strikes. That's when heartache happens, because the devil's fighting. And we're going to have that probably in the pattern of our life until Christ returns. And we just need to realize that. We need to realize that's going to happen, and that we need to trust Christ along the way. And we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to serve. We need to continue to recognize these opportunities and walk them out. That's what we need to do. Loss, you know, it could be that tragedy could be the loss of a business, or you could have lost all your money, right? You could have lost it in the market. I know a lot of people are struggling right now with the inflation and the market the way it is. Retirement plans are coming dry. I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, they got to work 2 more years, 5 more years now because they had this plan. To lose all of your material possessions, I'm going to challenge you and say that may be a blessing. It may be a blessing in a strange disguise. I know that it's hard to see that when you're like in the midst of it, but it may get you to the end of you. You know, maybe it's the loss of your health, right? That can be a tragedy. You know, if you're sick, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh, right? That's been a huge subject for many years. People talk about it. Like, what was the thorn of the flesh? And I think there's a lot of people, and I agree with them. There's a lot of people that say that it was some physical disability. We don't know what it is, but that's what I believe. And there's some other theologians that believe that. And I'm not a theologian, but I listen to a lot of them and I read a lot of them. And Paul prayed for its removal, right? He prayed for that thorn to be removed. But this request, it wasn't answered in the way he wanted it to be, right? It wasn't taken away. But what happened was he received sufficient grace to deal with it. And he saw that the Lord could bring glory to him through whatever that thorn was. Right? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, you know, Paul heard, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." You know, that's powerful. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, it could be, you know, it could have been the loss of the business or the thorn, right? But it could be the loss of a loved one, right? I've spent a lot of time recently over the last, you know, couple years going to funerals. You know, either somebody wrecked on their motorcycle or they had COVID or, you know, it's just old age. But every time you can clearly see out of that catastrophe, out of that despair, God can bring a great blessing. And I think it's important to look at those little things. Sometimes it's hard, right? Sometimes because you're just in so much pain because of this tragedy that it's hard for you to recognize that blessing. So I challenge you to just look for it. All right. So now I've talked about various patterns of life. But the one thing I haven't talked about that I think it's important is that we talk about the victories. Life contains a lot of victories. It can. Every person experiences some amount of success in life's journey at one point or another. It could be professional. It could be personal. I have kids. I got amazing kids. I have amazing grandkids. I have an amazing wife, right? And I have an amazing God. I think everybody can experience success in life. But as a Christian, right, those of us who have the joy of salvation, it should be a different experience. It should be the victory of growth in grace. Every Christian should be able to say how much better that they know Christ today than they did a year ago, than they did a month ago, or even yesterday, right? That fellowship with Christ, that warm, close fellowship with Christ, that's the reward. That is victory enough for any Christian, right? But I'll tell you, there's victory in leading someone to Christ. And I believe every Christian should make it a personal goal, I would say, to win at least one soul to Christ for the rest of this year. From the day you hear this, I challenge you to win somebody to Christ. I don't know how to, I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just saying, I think you should strive for that. And the beginning of that isn't like going out and beating them over the head with a Bible. Right? Start the goal with an earnest prayer for a specific person. With a personal explanation of how they need to be saved. Because when the Holy Spirit has done his work of convincing and convicting, you will have great joy in that person coming to accept Christ. Of that person saying, "Yes, Lord." And for the sinners that are listening today, and that's me too, right? You've heard me say it, we're all sinners. We live in a fallen world. Or how about the people that have felt remorse over whatever spiritual condition you're in, right? When you realize that God knows everything, when you realize that you're in God's sight, and you tell yourself, like I told myself, God could never forgive me. Maybe you have felt rebellious, like you rebelled against God and you don't deserve his love. I felt that way. I know you have a desire for peace in your heart. I know that you desire peace of mind and that you can't just seem to get there yet. But I'm telling you today, if you accept Christ as your Savior, you can experience the same happiness. You can experience the joy. You can experience the peace that you so desperately crave. That will be the greatest victory in your life. The victory of surrendering to the King of Kings. The victory of saying yes to Jesus Christ. Are you ready to face another day living this way? Or are you strong enough to seize every opportunity available to you and magnify Christ in your life and in the efforts to win people to the kingdom for him? And if you're not a follower of Christ yet, I ask that you just accept him. Bring Christ into your life. In 1 John 5:4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." I know it's hard. I know it's hard to really think about what does this look like. You've heard me say it before. I'm a data guy. I want to know it's real. I know it's real. I'm going to pray for us because I think it's important. I think it's important that we pray that people bring Christ into their life. Father God, today I just ask for the power of the Spirit to fill me and everybody listening, that we together can enjoy the victory of allowing you to rule our life, allowing you to be the King of Kings, allowing you to determine where we go in this world. And Father, as you open those doors, I pray that people continue to walk through them. I pray that people continue to recognize the opportunities to serve. I pray for the people of this world that need that hand up, that we can help them get to that next place in their life and that they can be a warrior for you as well, Lord. God, I thank you for everything you do for us. I thank you for the many, many blessings that you've given us. I thank you for bringing me out of the darkness. And I just ask that you bless everybody listening. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, everybody, this is Rick, Nomad Pastor. Thanks for listening. I want you all to have a blessed day and a blessed week.